Hi, I'm Azriel, and you have made it to my show. Welcome. I'm excited to have you here and talk about whatever we're going to talk about today. My only request is that you don't request a twin flame reading, because I don't do those, okay? Like, I don't do those. Otherwise, welcome.
I know that I took a ridiculously long break, but I am now back. So here we go. We're just going to jump right back in. This week, I wanted to touch on the importance of natal charts and relationships. And before you get on me, haven't we already done this before? Yes, we have. It's just a little bit more in depth. This is specific to relationships and how they operate, whether it's romantic or platonic. I mean, all relationships are very complex. And if we're invested in them, then it's important to understand, you know, as many aspects of the other person that we're dealing with or the other people that we're interacting with as we're capable of doing. So, for instance, if you are an air sign, like a sun sign air, and you're in a relationship with another air, you might find that it's like super stimulating and exciting and fun, but it can also be a real struggle to accomplish very much or stay committed for a lot of people. That's at least from the interactions that I've seen with this combination, a lot of commitment issues. So in this specific case, you would want to look into the other aspects of your partner's chart to see where there's, you know, harmony and were there any imbalances. And it just really helps to illuminate that other person and for you and all of your crazy shenanigans to be illuminated to them and understand how each other works. So this week I have a special guest to actually dive in to all of these things. My personal astrologer and friend, Miss Debbie Barnett. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
So excited. You're like my go-to. I just completely respect and admire how well-versed you are in all of this, how well-studied. It just is amazing to me.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. I first got in when I was old enough to read. So like 7 or 8, I don't know.
What?
Yeah. My mom was an Aquarius, which Aquarius rules astrology, and she had kitchen matches that were laying around the kitchen, and they had the 12 signs with the birth dates and the symbols on it. And at that age, 7 or 8, I began memorizing the dates and the signs by comparing them to people that I knew in my life, like so-and-so's birthdays during the time of Leo, and so-and-so's a Cancer, and this one's an Aquarius, and like that. So my whole life.
Oh my gosh. So was your mom then who was the inspiration of you taking up this language?
Yeah.
Was she an astrologer herself?
No, she wasn't. But she would take me to psychics from a young age, and her mom would go to psychics, and they were into the whole metaphysical paranormal scene.
Oh my God.
Back in the 60s.
I'm so jealous of you. Don't get me wrong. I love my upbringing. I had a really cool experiences. But as far as this stuff goes, totally polar opposite of your upbringing.
Yeah. And then my dad was the opposite. He didn't believe in any of this stuff and still doesn't and makes fun of it. And so.
This is your job. This is a profession to you. How does he, I don't know, I guess, I don't even know how to frame it. How does he?
He thinks I need to get a real job, a job.
Oh!
Yes. He wants me to have steady income and security.
I get that.
You know.
Yeah. No, it's a very valid thing to say.
Well, a couple years ago he had gone into the hospital for some procedure and was being ornery and cantankerous or something, and the nurse said to my brother and sister, "Is he a Leo?" And they go, "Yes," which I'm a Leo as well. His birthday's a few days before mine. And they're like, "Dad, she pegged you."
So speaking on that, female energy, male energy, they can be very polar opposite. But Leo is one sign. Leo and Libra, actually, where the male version of this sign and then the female version are, they're almost completely different people.
Yeah.
How is that? Like, can you explain that to
me? I feel like all the signs are that way. There's the female version and the male version. There's a book called Sextrology, S-E-X, and then Trology, Sextrology, that delineates the differences, and they're quite distinct. And if you think, like, from a Leo perspective, the male lion doesn't do a whole lot except for preen and sleep and mate. And the female lion is the one who does the hunting and raises the children, the cubs, and takes care of the clan, the pride, while the males just fight each other for dominance, and that's pretty much it. So, and I'm not saying male Leos are that way, but there's definitely a difference between a female Leo and a male Leo, and the same with Libra. You know, it's ruled by Venus. The Leo is ruled by the sun. Libra is ruled by Venus. So males with a lot of Libra, they have feminine traits, not necessarily to say that they're feminine. They might be more metrosexual than your average guy. But it's like our society doesn't necessarily accept those traits in a man. Just like with a Leo female, you know, it's ruled by the sun and it's young, it's masculine, it's fiery, it's dynamic. And a lot of times females aren't accepted for those traits either. So,
yeah. Oh, that's something. That's very true. You're a lifer astrologer. How have you shared this? Like, what's kind of been your journey in astrology and doing this professionally?
Well, ever since I was young, I started figuring out how to do charts. This was before computers, so it was all done by hand, which I think is a wonderful way to learn. And I started just by doing family members. And every time a child was born in our family, they knew to make sure of the time. Debbie's going to want the exact time that the baby was born. So I have them trained. And I started reading professionally in 2006. And it was a little nerve-wracking to read for somebody that I didn't know. But that person, I just had a reading with her just a few, probably a month or so ago. And I said, you were my first person that I didn't know whose chart I read. And she's still coming back to me today. So I guess I did okay.
I think you did. You've done well.
Yeah.
You've done very well. So on the topic of today, the whole natal charts and relationships things, and it's always, you always see these memes on social media, you know, the what's your birthday time, blah blah blah. And I mean, this it's funny to see it go around, but it's at the same time you're like, yeah, but no, that's legit, really, give me your birthday and your birth time and your location.
I see this meme that says, how soon in the relationship before you're asking them to call their mom to find out what time they were born?
Yeah.
First date?
Yeah, definitely first date. You don't want to waste anybody's time, and you don't want your time wasted, you know?
Right. That's funny.
So in blending them together, why do you think, as a professional astrologer, why do you think it's important for couples, or even just with friendships and, you know, family relationships? Yeah. Why is it important to you for everybody to kind of get a grasp on the other person's chart?
Compatibility. And also it lends an understanding. Like, if you have an understanding of where they're coming from and how it might differ from your point of view or your lifestyle or your background, you're able to cut that person a little bit of slack. Like, you're not expecting them to be just like you, you know? Yeah. So you're able to have compassion and have more understanding and gain a better perspective of how they handle life and how they react and respond to things, even though it might be different than yours.
So I would assume that you've done charts for couples before. I mean, or am I wrong? Is it pretty much everyone? Okay.
Yeah.
So in your experience, I mean, when people go to you, are they coming to you asking because there's stress in the relationship, or is it just like a curiosity? Is it one of those people are going to you, is this my twin flame? Stuff that I can't stand.
Right. Both. I'd say both. I did a couples reading the other day for somebody who has a crush on someone. They're not in it. Well, they're in a relationship, but it's like he's her trainer. But she's had this crush on him and just a cursory glance without his time of birth. And I said, yeah, you know, it's not looking real copacetic. And then she managed to get his time of birth. And I did an actual, like, there's a grid that you do, a synastry grid that has six different zones. And you look for compatibility in all these different areas. And it just wasn't happening. It was just really low. And it's not to say that they can't be good friends, but as far as like having a romantic long-term relationship, I didn't see it happening.
Interesting. What was that called? A synastry?
Synastry. A synastry. There's different kinds of relationship charts you can do. And there's a compatibility chart. There's a synastry chart. There's a Davidson relationship chart. So synastry is, for instance, you're a Libra, right? Yes, yes. So I'm a Leo. So our suns would be sextile each other. That's a harmonious element. That's fire and air. Those two get along. So if we were just looking at sun signs, you know, that combination would be good. Of course, there's a lot more to it than just sun signs.
So yeah.
A synastry chart is your planet fits where in my chart and what is it aspecting in my chart and vice versa. And then a composite chart is a chart for the relationship. So at the time that you meet somebody, it's as if a chart is created, like a new entity. And so you would look like that's more for a longer term, like if it's a year or more, you'd look at the long term. What is the relationship chart? Not necessarily, you know, your son is sextile to my son kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you bring that up. And I try to say that as frequently as possible, that while, yes, the sun sign is very important, it's only one aspect of who you are. And this is right. Why so many people say, okay, astrology is bullshit. But it's like, no.
They don't know that there's more to it than just your sun sign.
Yeah, exactly. And not even just with the, you know, 11 other houses, but I mean, you can talk about all the other little additives, you know, like the sextile and the...
It's a deep, deep rabbit hole. And as long as I've been studying astrology, there's still so much for me to learn and so much that I don't know. And that's probably why I'm still doing it. I have a Gemini moon. So that Gemini moon is very curious and a perpetual student and loves to learn. And I have found astrology to be very beneficial to giving me plenty to learn because it gets you out of yourself. We're so used to seeing our own worldview and that's it. And then you get into a relationship and they start pushing buttons and there's friction and that's how we grow. Right. But it doesn't mean that it's not frustrating. So to have an understanding of, oh, I understand why he wants to stay home. He's got all these planets in Cancer. He's a homebody. Right. And they're Miss Libra or Leo and wants to go out and paint the town. You know, that's you got to be able to compromise. So, yeah, it gives people understanding, which I think is beneficial.
Yeah, no, I concur 100%.
Yeah.
So with compatibility, I guess on a surface level, would you be able to just kind of run off? We'll just stick with sun sign, I guess. What are the best combinations, just strictly looking at your sun signs?
Right. So we break it down by elements, fire, earth, air, water. And it goes in that order around the zodiac, starting with Aries, fire, Taurus, earth, Gemini, air, Cancer, water. And it goes around. So the two masculine are the fire and air. And that's yang. And then the two feminine are water and earth, and those are yin. So from a sun sign perspective, those, if your elements are compatible, there's compatibility, there's an understanding in the relationship. Okay. For instance, like if it was a Leo and a Cancer, that's both fire and water. Well, that's not compatible. You know, it's not say there's no good or bad, by the way. People always say, is that good? Is that bad? It's not good or bad. It's positive or negative. As in a battery, not one's good and one's bad, but one's a positive charge, one's a negative charge. You need both for the battery to run. We don't look at it as it's good or bad. I'm not saying Leo and Cancer is bad. But fire and water, I mean, think about it. You know, they're not compatible elements, but together they create steam, which is very creative, but it can also scald you, right? So there could be a lot of passion, but then too much water puts fire out. Too much fire puts water out. So there has to be more of a balance of, you know, who's in charge and who's not, and more of the give and take, whereas the compatible elements have more of an understanding and more ease and flow.
So, you know, just gonna randomly throw two signs out at you.
Okay.
Totally random.
Totally random. Totally. Is there a Libra in there? By chance?
Let me put on my razor. There might be a Libra.
Be a Libra, Libra sun, okay.
Libra, yeah, we'll just say, just throw it out there. Libra sun and a Scorpio sun.
Okay, well, that's a yin and a yang. So that's an air and water. So from that perspective, there's some disharmony. And then also we would look at the modality. So Libra is cardinal, meaning it starts a season, right? It's the autumnal equinox. So cardinal signs are the starters, and then Scorpio is a fixed sign. So that's like the sustaining, like in Hindu cosmology, it's Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. So God is creator, God is preserver, God is destroyer. So the cardinal signs create, and then the fixed signs carry it through. And then the mutable signs, which would be the third one, disseminate. So they'd like after the harvest, they store the grain and sort out the grain and like that. So Scorpio would be fixed. It's fixed water. They can get pretty stubborn. They can get very emotional about what they think and what they believe. Whereas Libra is all about balance and harmony, and they want to start new things. Like, let's start a new group, and let's start a new study group, and let's do this. And the fixed sign is like, no, I like things the way they are. I'm happy with the status quo. They don't necessarily want to start new things.
See, now to me and all of my, like, I like to be super optimistic and just say, oh, I'll just start everything and you can finish it.
That's good, because that's what the fixed signs do. They're tenacious. Yeah. They stick to it and they don't give up and they see it through to the end. Whereas the cardinal signs want to go off and start the next new thing. And people make them wrong for it. They're like, oh, like Aries, for instance, that's the first sign of the zodiac that starts the spring equinox. They're full of ideas. They're the pioneers. So they're constantly coming up with new ideas and starting new things. They don't necessarily finish it. Well, they're not supposed to. The fixed people are, right? So being able
to... No, keep going on with that, because I love how this is branching off into more than just a, you know, relationship, love relationship. This goes into work. This could be at the office. So if you're like a business, if you're running a department, don't you want to know what people's like? Obviously, you're going to want to ask permission, but wouldn't it be beneficial to know your team, your team's natal charts, and go, I'm going to put you here, and then you three guys are going to be here, and blah, blah, blah.
Right. That would be beneficial if people would go for it.
Well, I'm going to start this.
That's right.
I'm going to start this trend. Someone else, whoever's listening, needs to pick it up and finish the job, because I am not going to do that. I know me.
So as far as like sun sign compatibility, knowing if it's a yin or a yang, if it's, you know, what's the element? Fire, air, earth, water. If once you know that, that gives you a pretty good understanding of how that person is and where they're coming from. Yeah. And then knowing cardinal, fixed, or mutable would be the next layer.
So mutable, you already said that's kind of like finishing up or wrapping things up, correct?
Right. So think of like Virgo is the end of the harvest, right? So they've done the harvest, they've stored the grain, everything's accounted for, you know, little by little, they dole out the grain so that it lasts all winter. So they disseminate, like Gemini disseminates information. It's taking in all this information and then it disseminates the information. Sagittarius would be disseminating philosophy and higher learning, higher law, foreign cultures. Pisces would be spiritual, it's disseminating spiritual information and unity and oneness and cohesiveness.
I'm going to kind of jump back over into Moon, Mercury, all like the planetary aspects.
Uh-huh.
For a compatibility in whatever relationship it is, yeah. What do you consider to be the most important? Or do you think that they're all like massively important in
right.
knowing who the other person is and how they operate?
Well, there's that, when I was talking about a synastry grid, the mm-hmm. first zone one is called inners to inners. And that would be the personal planets. So Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars are the personal planets. And then we get to Jupiter, Saturn. Those are more societal. But if okay. you've got a lot of compatible aspects, meaning trines or sextiles, that would be ease and flow in communication, not a lot of struggle. So on a day-to-day basis, as far as compatibility, you want to be able to communicate with somebody. You want to be able to be understood and to understand them and have that cohesiveness. And if it's a struggle to be understood, it's going to affect the relationship.
Yeah, definitely. You know?
Unless it's just a strictly sexual relationship, you know, you want to be able to communicate. How long are you going to be in bed for? You know, days? Probably not. Yeah. So I'd look at inners to inners and see what kind of flow, what kind of aspects. And all of this, it won't do the synastry grid, but one of my favorite websites that I send people to is astro.com. And you sign up for a free membership and you can go to extended chart selection. You put in your information, the other person's information, and you can do synastry grids and you can do compatibility grids and or charts rather, not grids. The okay. Davidson. You can see all those under the extended chart selection once you have their birth info.
On getting the birth info.
Yeah.
I'm sure that you've been asked this question.
What is that?
How do you obtain it?
I just ask them.
You just ask them. All right. That's easy.
I'm a Leo. I'm direct. Hey, I want to do your astrology chart. Find out what time you were born. Most people don't know. The majority of people don't know what time. And they're like, I don't know. And I said, well, look on your birth certificate. It's usually on there, not always. And if not, ask your mom. And she won't remember exactly probably because she's kind of busy.
Yeah.
But she'll have an
yeah.
idea
yeah.
of when she was born. And even with people that don't know what time they're born, you can still do what's called a solar chart instead of a natal chart. So for instance, as a Leo, I would put my rising sign is 0° Leo. So I have Leo on the first house, Virgo on the second, like that. And so when you read your horoscope in the paper or in a magazine, they're doing sun sign astrology, uh-huh. which is based on, you know, my sun would be in the first house as a Leo. And then that would make Aquarius as my descendant or my partnership house, like that. And you can still get a lot of information from a solar chart without a birth time. But sometimes people don't have a birth time. It's not on their birth certificate and their mom's passed and nobody knows what time they're born. And, you know, okay. So you won't necessarily know. Yeah. Their natal chart, the reason why you need the time is because that sets the house system, the sun sign that's rising on the eastern horizon at the time and place you were born sets the ascendant and that sets all the rest of the houses. But if you don't have that, it's not, oh, I can't do your chart. Yeah, you can, because you can still tell where all the other planets are, what signs they're in and their relationship to each other. You just don't have one of the big three, which I call the big three, the sun, moon, and ascendant. So you'd be missing the ascendant. But like I said, you can still read a lot from a solar chart.
So, and with the ascendant, that's, at least from my understanding of it, that's like kind of what you lead with.
It's your, what you show the world. It's your facade, your okay. personality. Like people say, guess my sun sign. Well, people don't show you their sun sign right off the bat. Not until you get to know them. They're showing you their ascendant.
So then you wouldn't really need to worry then if somebody isn't able or say that they're nervous to ask. Cause I've had a lot of people tell me, I don't know how to ask for it. I don't want to seem weird. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to tip them off or whatever it is.
Right.
If they well, do the solar chart, it's still giving almost the entire chart. So it's like if they've already met this person. So okay, I already kind of have a gauge on who you're leading with, what your ascendant is, but that's not necessarily who like the bulk of who they are. So this would work just fine doing the solar chart.
Yeah, they don't know what the ascendant is without the time. They know what their sun sign is.
Okay.
And they can see what, well, and the moon too. The moon changes signs every 2.5 days. So they might have been born on a day when the moon is changing signs.
Oh.
So it could be in one of two signs. But the more you get to know somebody, it'll show itself.
It'll be apparent.
Yeah.
Have you ever taught this before? Are you teaching any classes on this? On astrology? I'm not
doing that currently, but I have taught beginner intro, like intermediate astrology, like how to read a chart, how to read aspects, the cardinal fixed mutable, fire, air, earth, water, the ruler. What's also helpful is the rulers of the signs. Like I said earlier, the sun rules Leo, Libra is ruled by Venus. So knowing that is very beneficial too, because it's going to flavor that sign, especially if it's in its own sign. Like for instance, your moon is in Taurus. Well, Taurus is exalted. I mean, the moon is exalted in Taurus. So it's very strong there. And you've got Pluto in Scorpio. Pluto rules Scorpio. So it's strong there.
Okay. So I'm pretty solid where I'm at.
Yeah. Solid. You're about to have a Jupiter return, by the way, in January. Every 12 years, Jupiter return, like every year we have a solar return at our birthday. The sun returns to its solar position at birth. Every month we have a lunar return when the moon returns to its natal position. Well, because Jupiter's cycle is a 12-year cycle, every 12 years it comes back to its home position. So your Jupiter is at 7 degrees Aquarius. So in January, January 19th of this coming year, you're going to have a Jupiter return. So it's Jupiter brings benefits, right?
Oh,
it's
thank benefit. God.
Right? So you get recognized for something.
Oh, thank God. Yes. It's
Good.
Oh my God. So I've been in Aquarius Jupiter's been in Aquarius for me for the last 12 years. So is that why everything's been like kind of Allison Wonderland for me?
No, so your Jupiter natally is in Aquarius, but Jupiter is moving around the solar system, so it's going through all 12 signs.
Oh my gosh, but, am I just always in Wonderland with this placement?
Yeah. Kinda, yeah. Plus your Neptune is at 0 degrees Capricorn. So the 0 and 29 degrees are critical degrees. It's like the 0 degrees is brand new baby. And Neptune in Capricorn, that's not necessarily a happy place for it, because it wants to be dreamy and metaphysical and go off the ethers. And Capricorn is like, let's get to work. We got work to do. It's about business. You can't be sitting off on the beach daydreaming, being in Neptune foggy land. You got stuff to do.
I can go both ways, and I'm super, super wherever I'm at that time. If I'm in a haze, I'm like, yes. But if I'm working, I'm like, yes, there's no
good. That's perfect.
Not really. I mean, because then I can't be budged, you know, then I'm like, I don't want to work right now. I'm happy in my dreamland.
Right.
Or, okay, you've been working for like 48 hours. You might want to take a break. No. Let's keep going.
Right. Well, your moon is fixed. Taurus is a fixed sign and Jupiter in Aquarius is fixed. And you've got, two planets in Scorpio. You've got Pluto and Saturn in Scorpio fixed. So once you get on a track, it's not easy to get off that track.
Everybody listening, are you paying attention?
What she said.
Yes, exactly what she said.
Well, as far as work for you right now, you've got that whole Capricorn stellium of planets that are happening going through your 10th house. So it's all about career for you right now.
Totally. Yes. I am trying to make some stuff happen. So
yeah,
that beam of light in January, I'm told I needed that. Thank you for sharing that with me. Cause I'm like,
yeah.
January 19th,
okay. Your Jupiter return. And you can look that up and see what that's about. I'll share what happened. My last Jupiter return, mine's coming up fairly soon, about a year or so. But So mine was, let's say, 10 years ago. Well, it was 10 years ago. It was 2010. I was teaching yoga in juvenile detention in the Orange County Juvenile Detention Center to teenage boys, gang members. That was my seva, my selfless service. And I'd only been doing it for a year, and I won this Outstanding Probation Volunteer Award for this teaching yoga to these kids. That was my Jupiter return. That was my recognition for doing this spiritual work, because my Jupiter's in Pisces. So that was what happened for mine.
That is so cool. So how did you even get into that? How did you approach? You just said, I want to volunteer and teach these kids yoga, like calm them the F out.
Right. I was in Landmark Education at the time, and I'd taken the forum and the advanced class. And then the third one, you had to do a community service project of some sort. And so I had just written my book, which is The Deeper the Roots, the Juicier the Fruits, 8 Spiritual Practices for a Juicy Life. And I thought, oh, it'd be great to get my book to kids who wouldn't normally have access to yoga. And so yeah. I thought I'd always wanted, like, my moon and Mars are in Gemini in the 12th house. Well, that's the people who are shut-ins or institutionalized or in prison or hospitals or something. That's a 12th house thing. And then the Jupiter and Pisces in the 9th. So it's like sharing my philosophy. So I thought, oh, well, maybe I'll teach yoga in jail. Well, come to find out, you can't, like, they can't know your name and have contact with you outside of the classes because they're minors. So I couldn't bring my book in, but I thought, I still want to go teach. Like, I have this calling that that's what I'm supposed to do, is take this yoga to kids who wouldn't normally have it. And they loved it. You know, they didn't have to do it. It was an optional thing, but the ones that came, plus I've been doing yoga 40 years. So I'm like crazy flexible and strong and could do all these super crazy bendy.
I remember watching you standing there and you just lifted your leg up, like while you're standing, and you lifted one leg up like parallel.
Yeah.
Right above, up and down.
Yeah. And they're like, that's break dancing. And I'm like, no, that's advanced yoga. I started when I was 16, and you guys are 16. So if you start now, you too can do all this crazy stuff.
You too. So. This could be you. Oh, by the way, I don't know that we've talked about this. I don't think that we have. And I'm just going to throw it out there because that's the kind of mood I've been in lately. I'm just throwing it out, everything out. You had given me a reading. I believe it was actually my first astrology reading in like 2016, like full blown. I had a sit down with an astrologer.
Okay.
And you had told me, we were talking about, oh my gosh, just all kinds of stuff. And then we were talking about school. And I was like, I was thinking about going back to school for criminal psychology. And you looked at my chart and you was like, okay, well, right here. And I forget, don't ask me where it was, but you looked and you were like, okay, well, right here during this section, this is all like law related. And so as we were talking, we're, you know, both of us were like, well, yeah, that seems like this would be, you know, I'm a good girl, right? I don't get in any trouble. Like, what else could this be? I'm going to law school.
I'm right.
A criminal psychologist. No, that is not what happened. I mean, you were dead on that there was some legal stuff that had happened, but that was not what happened.
Oh, wow.
And
I'm going back to 2016 and I'm seeing what transits might have been going on then. And I'm not.
Are you looking right now? No, it wasn't. It wasn't in 2016. It happened in 2017.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And there was this little bracket where you're like, yeah, that makes sense. This, you know, it makes sense that you're looking to do this. And that would be roughly where you would be at because of obviously starting school again. After being gone for so long, I would have to take prerequisites and all that jazz. And so it just seemed, you know, reasonable. Yeah. Okay. You could do that in this period of time. And that is not at all.
Oh, okay. Well, Saturn was in Sagittarius at that time, going through your 9th house. So the 9th house is legal and law and is the boss. It's the government. It's control. It's the ruler of Capricorn and the original ruler of Aquarius. So it's like the dad. It's like somebody's really putting their thumb on you and go, you know, slumber party's over. Go to sleep, you kids. You know, this is, you got to stop playing and get down to basics and do what you're supposed to do. So it's kind of the taskmaster. It's Father Time. It's Kronos. So Saturn looks, a lot of people look at Saturn as being bad, quote unquote. But Saturn offers rewards that if you do the work and you're disciplined and you're structured like it's asking you to do, that it pays bigger dividends and bigger rewards than Jupiter does. Because Jupiter's just kind of flash in the pan, here today, gone tomorrow. But Saturn's going to reward you for doing the work. Yeah. Yeah. Make friends with Saturn. Saturn rules the earth plane. It's what creates our bone. It's our bone. So it gives structure to our body. So we're not just a blob of muscle and tissue and organs flopping around. You know, we have some structure to it. It's like the foundation of your house. It's like the framework of your house. That's Saturn. So we need it, you know, to be able to manifest on the earth plane. You know, can't all just be Neptune, airy, fairy, fantasy. You got to bring stuff into actual, tangible, physical being.
Like our dads who were get a real
Yeah.
job.
Get a real job. That's right. A job, job.
Get a job, please.
Yeah. So I
I
don't
know.
have to worry.
I know. I know. And that's a tough one too. That's a tough, especially like with parents. And that's another relationship that people need
Yeah.
that to really invest their time in learning about other people. Learn about your kids.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely kids.
Oh my gosh. You know, I did charts on both of my kids. Obviously not the way that you would be able to do it, but just my vague person, you know, ability of reading a chart.
Right.
And now I know. Oh, my daughter's flying off the handle because of XYZ. So I just talk to her like this. And then it
Yeah.
completely neutralizes the situation. And it's the same thing with
Yes.
my son.
Yep.
You know, it's good. It's like this little magic secret that you have.
It is, yeah. I had a boss once that had a lot of planets in Scorpio, and he didn't trust people. Like, he was very distrustful and very, like, oh, they've got ulterior motives, because that's the viewpoint that a Scorpio comes from. So I understand that. I could see, like, in my interview, I asked him for his date, time, place of birth.
No, you didn't.
I did. I did. I said, it's okay if you don't want to give it to me, but I am an astrologer and I would like this information just for my benefit. Not that I'm going to do a reading for you unless you want one, but this is for my benefit. And he said, yeah. He wasn't sure of what time he was born, but he had an approximate and it seems to fit. So yeah,
Wow.
straight up.
Oh my gosh. That's like you just got even more cool to me.
I had this male roommate one time years ago when I was in Dallas, and every time I'd go on a first date, and I had a bunch of first dates back then, I'd come home and immediately get out my astrology books, and he's like, ah, can you just get to know a person before you start looking at their chart? And I said, knowledge is power.
Yes.
Knowledge is power. I want to know.
Hell
My
yeah.
Gemini
Like,
mind wants to know.
so as a whole, is there anything like any advice or that you can give in any of what we've talked about? You've given so much information today. I really
Yeah.
appreciate it.
Oh, good. You know, you can't go just by somebody's sun sign, because that's what a lot of people do. Oh, those two signs don't get along. You know, not necessarily, because people are so complex. You really need to see what else is in your chart and what else is in their chart, and look for these compatibilities as far as, can you communicate? Can you get along day to day? Do you have the same philosophies? Are you of the same generation? You
Yeah.
know, what are the potential pitfalls just from your charts? Not to say it is or isn't going to be that way, because we have free will. We can choose how we live out our charts. But not to just take it as a surface, oh, you're this, that way, that means I'm not going to get along with you. That's too generalized, and people are unique. You know, this person may be completely opposite of all the others of that sign that you've ever met.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Yeah.
don't shut people off just for that.
So, for anybody who would want to get in touch with you,
My website is astroyogawoman.com, and then the email is astroyogawoman@gmail.com. I got Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Astro Yoga Woman. So that's easy enough.
super easy.
Yeah.
And then for classes, are you doing anything? I know that you've been teaching other classes, like, you know, where you're at, but are you doing anything online anytime soon?
I haven't yet. I'm waiting for the invitation. So maybe this is my invitation.
Ah.
I do have a free meetup group that's now online. It's the third Wednesday of every month. It's called Learn Western Astrology. And that's the third Wednesday, and it's 7 o'clock p.m. Tucson time, which is Mountain Standard Time, Arizona. We don't change back and forth, which is fine for me, but everybody else changes, so I never know what time it is anywhere else.
Anywhere else, I know. Yeah.
Information is on my website, so people can learn more about that, and it's free for anybody. You know, you don't have to have an experience in astrology. We have different topics each month. Usually it's like whatever is happening. It'll be the eclipses, or like coming up here pretty soon, we've got, well, Mars is already in Aries, but it's going to be going retrograde from September to November and squaring all these Capricorn planets. So that's going to be quite exciting, like it or not.
Oh, so, man, duck and cover.
Yes, well, exactly.
Is there any way that you can be like proactive with all of this fire?
Well, the thing is, like, what I tell people, it's like forearmed is forewarned. So if you're feeling anxious and on edge and like pent up aggression, because we're all been in lockdown, you know, a lot of people have lost their job, and there's a lot of fear, a lot of root chakra survival issue fear, and it comes out as aggression. So if you know that that's what's happening in the sky right now, you can take steps to mitigate that. You can do exercises. You can do spiritual practices. You can meditate. You can focus on getting your diet under control and taking care of what you can control. You can't control what other people do or don't do, or what the economy does, or what the government does, or what the virus is going to do. But you can control how you react or respond to it. And so knowing that Mars is in Aries and people might be a little bit of a hothead and road rage and flying off the handle, I can pull my energy back so that I don't engage and I don't get myself all worked up and get myself into trouble. So
exactly. Yeah. You know what? Hold on one second. I want to go back. You said that you had written a book. I want you to just say the title one more time and where our listeners can find it.
It's called The Deeper the Roots, the Juicier the Fruits, and it's 8 spiritual practices for a juicy life, and it's illustrated as well. I did the illustrations. It's a little 4x6 book. I'm selling it for $10 plus shipping, and they can just send me an email. I don't think it's on my website, matter of fact.
Okay.
I don't know. It may be. I haven't looked
really
for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, they can get that just by sending me an email, astroyogawoman@gmail.com.
Okay, perfect.
So we've got Saturn and Pluto retrograde, and Neptune is retrograde, Chiron, Uranus. So the outer planets are retrograde. But none of the inners. We feel the inners more than the outers.
All right.
But when Mars goes retrograde September through November, we will feel that for sure.
Hold tight.
Yes. Steady as she goes.
Steady as she goes. Well, we'll probably have you back for that. Like, okay, everybody,
okay.
Calm down. Let's remember what's going on right now.
Deep breaths. Lots of deep breaths.
Yeah. You should actually do a lot of yoga in that time, everybody.
For real. Yeah, no kidding. That's the
do
time.
Your, and yeah, Debbie, do like this massive Zoom yoga class or something.
Right.
That would be awesome.
Yoga for Mars retrograde in Aries.
Yes, that's perfect. I'm sold already.
Okay.
Totally. I hear you all who are out there losing your shit a little bit. Just let me out. Let me get out.
Yeah.
There are so many things that you can do. There are so many things that you can learn. This is like the best opportunity to take this time to learn the things that you've always put off because you didn't have the time. Now you have the time. And things like astrology, things like stimulating your psychic ability, because we all have it, learning how to meditate, taking care of your diet, just making all of these little adjustments makes everything so much better and easier to manage. And you know, not just, you don't want to just get through this whatever it is, you know, you want to still live, you want to still have your experiences. So get creative. And if you have any questions, always here. You can email me at info@asrielseer.com. For those of you who haven't started following me yet on any of social media platforms, it's at asrielseer for absolutely everything. Very easy. And until next week, again, Debbie, thank you so much for being with us this week.
Thank you.
And until next week, be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. Namaste.
Namaste.